Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
I've come to the conclusion that I wanted to share this passage because sometimes we kind of miss the message. Sometimes we kind of miss what God is really speaking to us. It's sort of like I heard the story of this gentleman that went into an auto parts store and said, "Sir, I need some 710. And the guy behind the counter says, "I don't know what 710 is." So he says, "Well, every car needs some 710. He says, "Well, I don't know what that is. I'm sorry." "Well, I can't believe you don't know what 710 is." He says, "Well, I'll show you." So come with me. So they go out and lift the hood of the car. He reaches in, unscrews something, and he shows them this, which you see in the picture right there. And if you're watching on a really small screen, that's the oil cap upside down. Okay, that's it. Now you're getting it over here. Sometimes we hear messages and we just have it sort of inverted in our minds, okay? So when it comes to this thing of the Sabbath, what I really wanted to share with you is this. I want to talk about the Sabbath's heart, the heart that God has for us in the Sabbath. What does He really want to say to us through this pattern that He's embedded into creation itself, that He's woven through the fabric of our faith, and that even we still need to practice regular times where we rest. We stop from our normal activities. We work those 6 days. We take a day sometime just to decompress from that. It's good for our bodies, absolutely. Good for our souls and minds, but it also is good to tell us something that God wants to communicate to us. And that's what I'm excited to share with you this morning. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go to the third book in the Old Testament, third book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus in chapter 26. We were in chapter 23 for a little bit last week, so we're kind of continuing this. But, you know, when you get into the subject of the Sabbath, there's more there than you expect. And I've been kind of even surprised even as I've studied this. Verse 1, it says this, Leviticus 26. "You shall not make idols for yourself, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Excuse me, try to cover the microphone while I'm doing that. Notice that phrase where it says, "and keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Well, you have to understand that He's expressing to us something very significant. I'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to just kind of think about a few things that we have covered already in this text, in this study. You remember the first week there ever was. This is in Genesis chapter 2. God made everything the sixth day. He rests the seventh. Then we get to the Ten Commandments. We were at Exodus chapter 20, where He says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We're to work 6 days. This is a day of rest." So it's a day to be different. It's part of the very fabric of our existence. He's saying to us something significant is happening. Then last week we looked at, over in chapter 23, that He says this day of Sabbath is a holy convocation, literally a sacred assembly. It's a time where God's people gather together collectively. We learn of Him. We express our hearts to Him. We come and worship Him. And that's why we've gathered this morning, even though we do it out of sync with the Jewish pattern of doing it on the seventh day, on the first day of a new week, but it's still that same pattern. One day in seven, we gather together. We take a little bit of a break from our normal routine, and we spend this time with God. And God set it up that way, and God wants us to pattern our lives that way. And remember, then we got into the New Testament where Jesus was accused of being a Sabbath breaker. "You're not keeping the Ten Commandments." The fourth commandment says, because He did very terrible things like healing people of their infirmities and diseases and so forth. And remember, Jesus said it this way. Remember, the Sabbath was, you know, people weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for mankind. It's for our benefit to express something of His heart. And then Jesus, just kind of the summary statement of the New Testament, where Jesus says, He is the Lord of the Sabbath as well. He's the God who has given us this. He's the God who has plugged into this. He is the God who gives us this great gift. So, first thing that God wants to express is simply this. He wants you near. He wants you near Him. He wants you to come regularly into His presence. He wants you to come and spend time with Him. And whether that's in a quiet meditation or some time off for rest, or when we gather together like we're doing right now to worship Him, to sing wonderful songs like we've just sung, to come and we give our gifts and we plan our activities as a church family and we come to listen to His voice. My maternal grandmother passed away when I was 17. She was an interesting lady. My mother was the youngest of nine children, and she also then lost her father, my maternal grandfather, when she was 7 years of age. So my grandmother finished raising all these kids by herself as a widow in a really economically difficult time in our history. And she had all these kids, and she cooked for all of them all the time. So now flash forward, I'm a teenager, and for the last few years of her life, she lived right next door to where my mom and dad and my brothers lived. And Sunday, she would cook Sunday dinner. And apparently, when you're cooking for nine kids and whoever they brought home for a weekend, you only learn one way of cooking. It didn't matter if no one was planning on coming. There was a meal for an army right there cooking. And the thing that just, maybe she cooked it every week, but just in my memory, it was always seemed to be chicken and dumplings. And we get home from church and, you know, we get ready and she'd be cooking and you kind of go over to her little place and you just, there it was, bubbling on the stove. And that aroma just coming. You just kind of sit there and like, come on, bring it on. I hate to make you hungry on a Sunday while we're a little ways away from lunch. But it was just those, just that she was just saying, I want you here with me. And of course, some of her children or grandchildren would sometimes drop by on Sunday. Sometimes they wouldn't. If someone dropped by, there was the army meal, you know, just come on into the cafeteria and have some chicken and dumplings. Because she was prepared to just welcome whoever walked in her door, because that's the kind of person she was. In essence, when I think about God wanting us to come near, that's the picture that just kind of floated in my mind, that the door's open. Everything is prepared. It's just going to be inviting. It's going to be need what you need. It's going to be refreshing. It's going to be comforting. Just come. I want you near. In fact, I want you so much to be near me. I want you to take one day out of every week and make that my day. I want you to make that our day. I want you to make that the day. I want this to be a time that you just come and you sit at my table. And I want to feed you. And I want to be with you. And I want to do what I can do in a special way. And I want us to have this time together. As I said, I haven't had that time with my grandmother for a long time now. But those memories now still flash forward. But the reality is God says, come to my table. Come and sit down. Tell me what's going on in life. Tell me where you're struggling. Tell me what's exciting. Tell me what you're going through. I want to have this relationship with you. God wants us to be near. He's waiting to talk to you. He's waiting to have you talk to Him. He wants you to walk with Him, to live with Him, to trust Him, thank Him, praise Him, and to be with Him. So make sure you get the message. What is God saying by having this Sabbath concept inserted into our reality? He's simply saying, I love you so much. I want you to be with me so much. I have reserved my time. I have put it on my schedule, and I have, in essence, set the table for you to come and spend time with me. It's all of value to us. And now we live in a world that has many things that come at us where we feel devalued. People don't listen to us. People mistreat us. We have trauma. We have rejection. We have, you name it, all sorts of struggles that go on in life. That's why we need to regularly make sure that we practice as God has given us this gift, that we spend some time taking our time away from work as best we can do that. And I understand everybody's schedule and responsibilities are different. But you know what? That we find this time to say, Lord, I'm going to come to your time together. Let's sit down. Let's spend some time together. Because He values you. You are like the one relative that He can't wait to walk in the door. He's the one that's got everything prepared. He's the one that has the meal ready for you of spiritual nutrition. He's the one who's ready for you. So make sure we do that. So just put that in your thinking. He wants you near. Now, verses 3 through 39 get a little difficult. I'm not going to read all those verses, all 36 verses. I'm just going to give you a flavor of it. But he says two things. There's a positive and a negative here. And verse 3 says this. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments to perform them, then I will give rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield the fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. Now, they were an agricultural society. He's just saying, I'm going to turn on the floodgates of blessing in your crops and all that sort of thing. Verse 6, I will give peace in the land. You shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies. They shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. And he just goes on and on, verse 13. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. God is saying, here's what I want. Not only do I want you near, I want you to stay. I want you to stay in this position of enjoying this relationship. I want you to enjoy it. And if you do, if you keep my Sabbath, you keep my commandments, you do as I ask you to do, I'm just wanting you to stay, and we're going to stay together, and you're going to be blessed beyond amazing. Now, if you read the Old Testament in the actual narrative of the Old Testament, the history, there were some times of great blessing. And it talks about where he says, like, five will put 100, chase 100, and 100 will put 10,000 to flight. You read about these battles that took place in the Old Testament, and you just see time and time again where God shows up, and God shows up in a way in which amazing victories are won, right? And then you see where he blessed them and that sort of thing. Just amazing blessings. When they're in the wilderness for 40 years, he puts manna on the ground for 6 days a week so they have all that they need to eat. He got water out of a rock. You know, on and on and on it goes. Why does he do that? Why does God grant us blessings in our lives? Because he's saying to you, as he says through the Sabbath, I want you to stay. I want you to be here. I want you to keep maintain this closeness. Now, I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of things going on, but we've had our day together. But now we're ready to just continue that fellowship. I remember oftentimes in my life where, you know, I just kind of wish I could go to church every day of the week. Some of you may not feel that way, but I've felt that way at times. Just because I need to hear, I need to learn, I need the fellowship. I find strength here. I love the singing. I love to be here. This is what gives me a spiritual boost, but I'm not here every day of the week, and neither are you. But you know what? Here's the reality. The relationship that is on full display when we are gathered for worship, when we have our sacred assembly and our holy convocation, as we talked about earlier, then this is what just kind of sets the table for us to stay in this relationship. Now, starting in the next few verses, it's a complete change of tone. Verse 14, and if you do not obey and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes of your, or if your soul abhors my judgment, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. And he just goes through a long list of discipline he's going to share. So we have trouble with that because, well, first of all, we don't care much for God's discipline in our reaction to it. That God's going to make it difficult. God's going to make it very difficult for them. The blessings are not going to be there. Everything's going to be contrary to them. But why does God say, if you obey me, I'll bless you, and if you don't, you're going to have all this burden on you? It's the same exact heart reaction, heart expression, I should say. It's simply this. I want you near, and I want you to stay. If you stay and we walk together, if you're walking obedience to me, blessings are going to flow. If not, I'm going to correct you so that you come back into conformity to me. The discipline is not just punitive. It's not just because God is angry, although he is, at sin, and righteously so. But he wants to use that to correct us, to bring us back into a place where we need to be, that discipline. Now, he says something, several things in this text that's going to maybe help us along the way. He says, like in verse 33, I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate, your cities waste. Verse 34, key. Then the land shall enjoy its, there's our word. You see it there in 34? Shall enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land, and the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath. Now, if we went over to another chapter or so, we'd see exactly, actually before chapter, it's actually back in 24, 25. For every seventh year was a Sabbath year. We talked about that last week, and I want to go over that again. But basically, if you disobey and you don't keep these Sabbaths, God is going to say, I'm going to give the land rest anyway. And that rest is going to be taking place while you are basically kicked out of the land. And Jeremiah mentions this in Jeremiah 25. He mentions it in 29. Daniel was aware of it because he was keeping track of this. And it was basically that they were going to spend 70 years in exile because the land hadn't had its Sabbath rest, and it would have its Sabbath rest as you're booted out, in essence, in exile. And during that time, I'm going to correct you because I want you to stay close to me. I don't want you to wander. I just want to read a quick verse for you from 2 Chronicles 36, 21. Speaking of these events, we know that the captivity was to be 70 years long. And it says in 2 Chronicles 36:21, to fulfill the law by the mouth, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land has enjoyed her Sabbaths, as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. That was a high price to pay for these people. But you know what? After 70 years, they were ready to return to the Lord. Interestingly, after the Babylonian captivity, that 70-year period, Israel never again dabbled with polytheism, worship of false gods, idols, idolatry. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't have problems and all the rest of it, but that part of that defection from God ended and was gone. And now they just accept, and even today, for people who are of Jewish faith that are practicing and have people of faith, it's there's one God. It'll just add that concept, okay? So here's what we want to say about us. What is the meaning of Sabbath? What's the heart of the Sabbath? It's simply this. As a regular pattern, he wants you near. Secondly, he wants you to stay. But that's not the end of the story. He also wants you back. If we stray, he wants you back. Look at verse 40. But if they confess their iniquities, and he's talking they in that tense, because this is people yet future, okay? This is before any of this took place. He's looking future. If they get to that place where they are, you know, in a desolate land, it lays in Sabbath for those years. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they have walked contrary to me, and that I have also walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, after all that takes place, he says, 42, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they have despised my judgments, because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. That's the heart of God on display. Yes, I want you near. I've built that into the fabric of our days and our calendars. I built that into the fabric of our heritage spiritually, that we have a day of rest and we have a day where we have these sacred assemblies. Yes, I want you to stay there, and I want to bless you, to entice you to stay there. And if you refuse to stay in this close fellowship with me, I'm going to do what's necessary to try to encourage you to come back. And here's the great news. When we wander, if we confess our sins and we take responsibility for it, and we come back where we want to walk in obedience with him, he welcomes us with open arms. Doesn't mean there wasn't a terrible price to be paid. It doesn't mean it's, from the practical standpoint, our standpoint, it's not as good as it would have been if we had been obedient all along, but he opens his arms of grace to us. Now, maybe you're someone that's here this morning and you say, well, that's good to know because I'll file that away for future reference. It's a good thing to file away. Maybe there's someone in this room that you have been away for a long, long time. Or maybe you've never, ever, just never had an encounter with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't fully understand what that means, or you're not sure. I would encourage you to make sure that gets sure. And just to go before the Lord and confess to him that you know you're a sinner, that you know Christ died for you, that you believe that. Or if you don't understand that, you'd have a conversation with somebody who can guide you in the scriptures and point you to the right places where you can come to understand that. One of us as pastors, any one of us pastors, would love to talk to anyone at any time. We do that with regularity. to help you understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. Maybe you have a Christian friend or family member that you know, they know more about this than I do. Just have the courage to say, talk to me about that. Let me know about that. Help me understand that. And you can come to Christ. Or you need to maybe just renew your commitment, your fellowship with Him. Or maybe it's not a long, long time. Maybe it's just a season. A season of your life in which you're just not really feeling that all excited about your walk with the Lord. Maybe it's a season of life where you're just feeling like everything's going wrong and everything's going bad and I don't know what this is all about. Where is the Lord in all this? Can I really trust Him? Can I really put my confidence in Him when it hurts so bad and it seems so strange? Maybe it's a season for which you need to just come back and say, Lord, I don't have to understand it all. All I need to know is Your heart. Your heart says to me, I want You near me. I want You to stay near me. And if You're not near me, I want You back. That's the heart of God to you. It's the heart of God to me. It's the heart of God to us. And maybe it's not a season. Maybe it's just today. Maybe it's just this moment. At this very moment, I just haven't been with the Lord where I need to be. Maybe my prayer life is really not that great. Maybe I haven't spent any time in the Word. Maybe I've got my mind filled with all the wrong things, and I just need to get that taken care of. I love how He says it, and God says it very well. If they confess their iniquities and the iniquities of their father and their unfaithfulness, just tell them yourself. By the way, God's not going to be shocked. He already knows. He knows full well the condition of your heart. But here's what He's saying to you. If it's a moment, if it's a season, if it's a lifetime, the Sabbath is saying this to you. I want you near. I want you to stay. I want you back. Because that's a God who loved His people then, and He loves His people now, and He loves you. And I can verify that by this simple truth, that God loved us enough to send His only Son to be the Savior of the world. He did that for you. How do we respond? How do we respond? Just let that find a deeply planted place in our lives and let it grow and come to fruition. He wants you near. He wants you to stay. And He wants you back. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this opportunity to spend a few moments in Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for these weeks that we've had to think about the fourth commandment, this sometimes forgotten commandment of God. Thank You that You welcome us to Your table. Thank You that You welcome us into Your presence, that You've set up even our system of timekeeping so that we would spend time with You, have that opportunity. Lord, sometimes we fill that with anything and everything else. But Lord, these folks, us today, as we met for worship in this sacred assembly, Lord, we just say to You, we want to be with You. We want to just praise You. You're the God who wants us to be near, who wants us to stay near, and welcomes us back to that nearness when we step aside. Lord, if there's something we need to confess and forsake or recommit to or just to offer You our thanks, Lord, we do so now in this quiet moment. Lord, we just want to be Your people. We want to walk in obedience. We want to enjoy doing things Your way. We want to enjoy, most of all, as we've talked about this morning, the heart of the Sabbath, the heart of the Lord of the Sabbath, the heart that welcomes us to be with You. Accept our praise as we thank You and ask these things in the gift that is your Son, in the gift of His name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.